One of the things that many Christians struggle with is what God wants them to do, their ministry calling, and so on and so forth. And we've talked about these things very often in the past. Well, tonight, just like a spoke in the middle of a wheel has 360 degrees from which you can approach that spoke, we're going to approach this whole thing of your ministry calling from another spoke, from another angle. Praise the Lord. So what I'd like you to do first off is turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I'm waiting for you to get there because I want you to see what Jesus said. John chapter 3 and in verse 3. Now what I'm going to share with you tonight, I can honestly stand here and tell you this is guaranteed to help you discover what God's called you to do. Guaranteed. You say, well, how can you make that kind of a guarantee? Because I'm going to show you things from God's Word. And God's Word never fails, praise the Lord. So in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus says, now Nicodemus has come to him, asked him some questions, and Jesus answers verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, Nicodemus couldn't understand that. You know what? Back in the mother's womb? Well, Jesus in verse 5 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, unto thee, you must be born again. So Jesus is talking about two different things here. He's talking about your initial human existence when you're born into this world. That's the flesh or the water. And then he's talking about a separate event, a birth that takes place as a result of us putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, at the moment Jesus was saying this to Nicodemus, Nicodemus couldn't be born again because Jesus hadn't completed his work on earth. But Jesus was giving him, really, Jesus is like he was prophesying, okay? And so he says, look, you've had your physical birth, but until you have your spiritual birth, you cannot enter into or you cannot even see the kingdom of God. So Jesus is talking about us encountering a change in the realm of the Spirit, a change in us, a spiritual change on the inside of us. Now look over in John chapter 5. In verse 21, whereas the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. So Jesus was talking about being born again. Then over here in verse 21, this term quickeneth is introduced. Well, this word quickeneth basically means life-giving, okay? And so it talks about the Son quickening whom He will. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and one verse, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. Now we're going to look at one other passage, 1 John chapter 5. At least one other passage at the moment. 1 John chapter 5. Two verses, verse 12 and 13. John has written here, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe, unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay, now how can we know that we have eternal life? Well, let's simplify this tonight. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's when we become a recipient of what Jesus called born again and what He referred to as a spiritual birth. Jesus also declared Himself as being the one who quickens. You know, He quickens whom He will. And then this is clarified further in 1 Corinthians 15:45, where it talks about Jesus being a quickening or a life-giving spirit. Then here in John, 1 John, it says that those of us, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase here, those of us who put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have life. Now, what kind of life is this talking about? Well, it's talking about spiritual life. But what is the source of spiritual life? Well, the answer to that really is found back in Genesis, where it talks about how that God breathed life into Adam. So in all of these verses that we've read here at the very beginning, what we're reading about is God's life. So when we put our faith in Jesus, the life that we receive, this spiritual birth, is God's life being imparted to us. And we come to life spiritually. And when we come to life spiritually, we come to life with God's life. Nobody else's, God's life. So here we are, born again, having God's life in us. Okay, now let's go to the next point here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. It says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." Now over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So what we're seeing here are the ministry callings. Now what we first identified a few moments ago was God's life. We saw verses and passages that identify when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become born again, we have spiritual life, and that spiritual life is the life of God that's been imparted unto us. Then we see where God has established ministry callings, apostle, prophet, evangelist, etc., and so forth. So, when we get born again, with God's life. Then, the callings that exist are God's callings. They're not man's callings, they're God's callings. So we have God's life, and now we are exposed to the fact that there are callings, and these callings have come from God. God has set in the church. These callings have come from Him. Now, when it comes to us, on a personal level, on an individual level, the life comes before the call. Okay? Now, everybody should be able to figure that one out very quickly. But this introduces us to a process. The life comes before the call. In other words, if you don't have the life, you can't have the call. You say, "But Brother Martin, I thought that God had a plan for everybody's life, and that plan included, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and so forth." That's true. That is true. In fact, there are people that you've come across that they're heathens. I mean, they want nothing to do with God, but God's got a plan for their life. However, that plan starts with His life. So, again, let's use this illustration. Up in heaven, God's got a big filing cabinet. One of those drawers has your name on it. And when He opens that drawer, there are all these different files in there. Now, the very first file in there is the life file, okay? So, if you're going to become anything else in that filing cabinet, the first thing you have to become is life, okay? So, when you call out to God and say, "Gee, I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do," God's going to say, "Well, according to my plan for you, it is life. You must accept my Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior." So, we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we become recipients of God's life. The life comes before the call, all right? Now that is like a no-brainer, but do you have any idea how many people are out there trying to pastor churches and they're not even born again? We all know it goes on. Well, if you're going to be right before God, the life comes before the call. Therefore, the call comes out of the life. Now think about this. If you do not have the life, there is nothing for God to work with on the inside of you. Nothing. So once you get the life of God on the inside of you, everything about you and everything about the calling that He has for you, His plan for your life, everything, it funnels through that life. All of it funnels right through that life. So the life comes before the call, and the call comes through the life. All right? You see this? Now let's take it a little bit further. The life is spiritual, is it not? Well, of course it is. We know that. So if the life is spiritual, then guess what? The call is spiritual. Now, you may not think that I'm doing you much good as far as helping you discover what God's called you to do, but I really am. Because what this means is, to kind of shorten this thing up, you have to focus on the spiritual if you want to discover the call. Very simple. Because if you're not focusing on the spiritual, you're not focusing on the life. If you're not focusing on the life, you're not focusing on the place where the call is going to come through. You say, well, Brother Martin, that just seems to make sense to me. Sure it does. But if it makes that much sense to you, why are you reading all these help books? All these books put out there by, you know, whoever and whatever. And why are you taking all of these questionnaires and fill? Why are you doing that? Those things aren't focusing on the life. Those things are focusing. Remember when Jesus talked about over there in John chapter 3, that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit? Okay, when you go through all of man's ways, what you're doing is flesh. It's not spirit. Now, they're going to tell you it's spirit, but it's not. Because I can hand you out all kinds of questionnaires, but that's not pointing you to Him, and that's not pointing you to the life that is in you. The life comes before the call, therefore the call comes through the life. So the thing for you and I to do is to focus on the life, because the more we focus on the life is the more we're going to discover the call. Is this making sense? Okay, going even further. Turn again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Sometimes you try to say these things too fast, they just don't come out right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church. And God has set some in the church. First apostles and prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. God has set some in the church. Okay? Now, look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And He, this is speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. All right, now. God has set some in the church. Who's the head of the church? Jesus, okay? Jesus is the head of the church. So now let's think about this. If God has set some in the church, all these gifts, and Jesus is the head of the church, then through whom do these gifts pass? Jesus. We should be able to find scripture for that. Turn back over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And it says in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 11, and He gave some, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, etc. and so forth. You see this? Okay, so here's what we have. God has established these ministry callings, and He has set them in the church. But Jesus is the head of the church. Therefore, these gifts pass through the head to the body. All right? Now, what is Jesus? The Bible told, we saw earlier, that the Bible tells us that Jesus is a life-giving spirit, okay? So now if it's the life of God, but Jesus is the life-giving spirit, that means God passes that life through Jesus into us. That's why we tell people to accept Jesus into your heart. He passes His life through Jesus into us, okay? But likewise, He passes His calling on us through Jesus into us. So we get the life first, and then the call comes through the life. So there's a lot of focus here on Jesus. Can you see this? Just look at another verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now look in verse 18. It says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So, in this verse, what we're looking at, essentially, is an image. It's like Jesus is standing before us. And as we are looking at this image of Jesus, we go through a change so that we become the reflection of that image. We become who and what He is. All right? Now, since we have to accept Him as Lord and Savior so that God's life can pass through Jesus into us, when we are conforming to the image of Christ, first off, what we're doing is conforming to the image of the life of God. Now, I know that sounds maybe, kind of vague. You know, well, what does it mean to conform to the life of God? Well, we're not going to, really get into that a whole lot, but essentially, just think of it in those terms. When we're conforming to the image of Christ, we are conforming to the life of God, because the life comes through Jesus to us. Okay, now, since the call comes through the life, and we're the church, but Jesus is the head of the church, and God's the one that set the callings in the church, therefore those callings come through Jesus, through our life, to us. Now think with me here. As we are conforming to the image of Jesus, we are conforming to that calling. Now if all of the callings, if Jesus is the one who gives the gifts unto men, that means contained in Jesus, the way that God's got it structured in the Word, we've just read the verses, contained in Jesus is the perfect image of a pastor. Contained in Jesus is the perfect image of an evangelist, of an apostle, of a prophet, of a teacher, of all of these things. Every calling that exists in the body of Christ, contained in Jesus is the perfect image of that calling. Now, God has set some in the church, and some people are apostles. Or, let's put it another way, some people are predestined to be apostles. What that means is that according to God's plan, He has already laid out for you the call of apostle, or prophet, or evangelist, or whatever He has for you. That's in His filing cabinet that has your name on it. So therefore, you have this predestination of the call of prophet on your life, or whatever it is for you, because that's God's plan. Now, some people don't even get born again, so they can't even begin to tap into the, file folder behind the life folder. You know what I'm talking about there? So they can't even begin to operate in any of that. But here we are, born again. We've tapped into the life. Now we want to find out what the calling is. Well, the calling comes through the life and becomes a manifest reality to us. So the more that we are conforming to the image of Christ, number one, we are conforming to the life of God, the image of the life of God, but right along with that, we are conforming to the pastor that is in Christ Jesus, to the prophet of Christ Jesus, to the evangelist of Christ Jesus. Is this making sense? Because it comes through Him. That means the Bible talks about how Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, okay? So here we have Jesus. That means everything I want to know about evangelist, or everything I believe I'm supposed to become relative to a prophet, all of that is Jesus. He's everything. Everything I could want, everything I could hope for. So as I'm standing in front of the image of Jesus, if I have the call of apostle on my life, then as I stand before this image of Jesus, what I'm looking at is apostle Jesus. And as I am conforming to that image, I am conforming to that apostolic call. But now you, on the other hand, you might be called to evangelist. Therefore, when you stand in front of Jesus, what you're standing in front of is evangelist Jesus. And as you are conforming to that image, you are conforming to the image of the evangelist in Christ, according to God's perfect plan for you. Okay? But now, since it all starts in the realm of the Spirit, and since it's spiritual life and it's a spiritual call, what that means is that unless I'm doing something spiritual, I won't be conforming. And if I am not in the process of conforming, I don't stand a chance of discovering. So if I want to know what that call is, I've got to conform to the image that is set before me. So now, if I look over at you, and you're in the process of conforming to Prophet Jesus, okay, and I think, boy, you know, I'd like to be that. And I try to get over there and stand with you in front of Prophet Jesus, it's not going to work. See, every one of our callings comes out of the life of God. It's God's life, but there are these different callings within that life. Okay, Christmas time. You make cookies. And you're getting ready to make your Christmas cookies. So you get out all your cookie cutters, right? Then you make this great big batch of cookie dough. And you flatten it out. And once you flatten it out, you get your cookie cutters. And then you take your Christmas tree cookie cutter. And you start cutting out Christmas trees, okay? Then you take your snowman cookie cutter and start cutting out snowmen and, you know, whatever else, reindeer and, you know, all these other things. It all comes from the same dough. But based upon the cookie cutter, that's what the dough is going to turn into. It's going to become the image of the cookie cutter, all right? So now, if you're standing in front of Jesus and you're being spiritually cookie-cuttered into a prophet, but I try to jump in there, I'm not going to fit. And I can't be cut that way because the parts that I need to become the prophet are going to be cut off. You see this? Is this making sense? I know. You say, Brother Martin, you're making me hungry more than you're making sense. I want some cookies. So here we are, trying to figure out, well, what's my calling? Well, I could try this, I could try that. You know what? Instead of trying this and trying that, what you need to do is start conforming to the image. Because that's where the call is going to be. The call comes through the life to you. And as you are conforming to the life, you're going to be conforming to the image. Because everything about God's life in you is geared toward you becoming what He wants you to become. Is it an apostle? Is it a pastor? What is it? Governments? What is it? So you, the life, we all share from the same dough, okay? The same life. But for you, that life is supposed to be conformed to the image of the apostle or the evangelist. Because that's in God's file cabinet under your name. So what I've got to do then, since this is spiritual, the life and the calling, since it's spiritual, see, as you operate in your calling, that is the outward manifestation of the spiritual work inside. As you fulfill your call of teacher, as you fulfill your call of helps, whatever it is, as you fulfill that, that is the outward manifestation of the inward confirmation. You have conformed to that image, and so now you are outwardly living what you inwardly have become. You with me? All right, now, what that means, though, is that I've got to do something in the realm of the Spirit in order to ever see this take place. And if I don't, then I won't see it take place, at least not the way God wants it to be. Now, let me show you. Over in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. All we need is one verse. And that is verse number 8. Verse number 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You say, what do you mean corruption here? I mean, how does this fit into this message tonight? Okay. Sowing to the flesh, remember a few moments ago I gave you the example of filling out those surveys and so forth to try to discover what you call it? That's sowing to the flesh. That's not sowing to the Spirit. That's sowing to the flesh. Here's the thing. No matter who you are, if you take one of those surveys, you'll become something. I mean, at least in your mind, you'll see that you have become something. And depending upon what survey you take and depending upon your mood at the time that you take it, somebody may tell you that you're called to the ministry of compassion. And that is where in Scripture? Somebody may say that you're called to the ministry of mercy. And that is where in Scripture? These things aren't in there. So what you're doing is, you are replacing a spiritual work with a man-made work. Because God did not design those surveys. He didn't design, you know, fill in the little circles and then add up the numbers. And if you're between, you know, 25 and 32, then this is what you are. And if you're between 87 and 95, this is what you are. God didn't do that. You say, Brother Martin, how do you know He didn't do that? I can prove He didn't. Because He said we're supposed to be led of the Spirit. Not led by surveys. Listen, when you remember over there in the four Gospels when Jesus went up to the mountain and He spent all night in prayer and He came back down and God told Him which 12 to pick? You notice in the Bible it did not say He came down and passed out surveys and said, fill in the numbers with a number 2 pencil. Don't color outside the lines. And then we're going to add up the numbers when you're done and find out which one of you is supposed to be part of my 12. No, He spent all night in prayer to find out. We're supposed to be led of the Spirit. And this is really, this is a major problem in the body of Christ because too many people are trying to find out what God's called them to do through the flesh. They're sowing to the flesh. Now, I know that this is Galatians chapter 6 here, verse 8, it's not talking about specifically about ministry callings, but there is a principle in this 8th verse. So here, let's think of the corruption aspect of it. If I sow to the flesh, what's going to happen? Okay, now let's try to think from God's perspective, looking through God's eyes. If I sow to the flesh to try to come up with my ministry calling, would He not see that as a corruptible thing? It doesn't meet His standard. It meets man's standards, but it doesn't meet His standards. So if I sow to the flesh to try and find out what I'm supposed to be, then the thing I end up with, I mean, I'm pursuing my whole life in this. It's corruptible before God because it's not His design. It's not His plan. Okay, but now on the other hand, what happens if I sow to the Spirit? If I sow to the Spirit, I'm going to begin to conform to the image of the life of God, and in the process, I'll begin to conform to the image of the pastor in Christ, the evangelist in Christ, the prophet in Christ. Whatever I'm called to be, I will begin conforming to the image of that in Christ Jesus. Because when Jesus stands before me, He is going to present to me my calling. God has set some in the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and He gave gifts unto men. So Jesus is going to put on His pastor's outfit and stand in front of me and say, here, this is what you're supposed to conform to. Or His evangelist outfit, whatever it would be. So then I'm supposed to sow to the Spirit for the purpose of conforming to that image. You say, okay, Brother Martin, that sounds great. Well, what does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Well, that's not really that difficult. Prayer, primarily praying in tongues, fasting, worship, primarily private worship, and the Word. Meditating in the Word. Jesus said, sower sows the Word. Where are you sowing the Word? In your heart? In your spirit? You're sowing to the Spirit. I'm a teacher. I look at verses through teacher's eyes. Evangelists look at verses through evangelist eyes. And they'll take a verse that to me needs to be broken down letter by letter, and they'll read the verse from their perspective and preach it to a congregation, and by the time they're done, somehow he's used that verse to prove he must be born again. You know the verse, Jesus wept. He's going to cry over the souls that are lost, for he's going to cry. Don't make Jesus cry. Get born again today. They can do this. But me, I want, you know, okay, now what's the Greek letter for J and the Greek letter for E and W-E-P-T? What's the context of this weeping? What's going on here? It's just different. But see, that's part of the process of conforming to the image of what you're called to be. And guys, the thing is, if you don't sow to the Spirit, you can't find out what the spiritual calling is. And what is so sad is that there are so many Christians out there who they don't know this. They never hear these things. You say, well, they should find it out for themselves. Well, yeah, I know the information's in the Scripture the whole time. I mean, we're not going to debate that. But, you know, a lot of it comes down to what you're being taught. And it's almost like if, look, quite honestly, it's just been my experience, maybe not yours, but it's been my experience that it's a rare individual who can discover things for themselves, who will discover, who ends up discovering things for themselves. A rare individual. Now, I'm not saying that to be critical, I'm just saying that's just what I've observed, what I've experienced. And that's not totally incorrect, because God has set some in the church, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So the teachers are supposed to be giving this kind of information to the congregations, and the thing is, a lot of them aren't. And so you have, you know, I've been in, there are churches where it's like they'll take a service and teach about, you know, 15, 20, 30 different spiritual gifts and callings, and then they hand out the surveys, and then you color them in, and then they tell you how to add up the numbers. This stuff goes on in church services, regular church services. And the end result of that is the people are supposed to know what they're called to be after they add up and figure out the numbers and the grand total and all that, so that the church, meaning, you know, that local church, can become more stable and people can begin operating in what they're called to do. Now, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but do you realize that when you do such a thing, what you're actually doing is implementing confusion? Because you're going to end up with people in the church trying to become something that God never established. So what's the alternative? Prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Leading a congregation in the direction of sowing to the Spirit. So what am I doing tonight? I'm really sowing to your soul more than I am to your spirit. And what you have to do is make a decision. Well, any of us that sit in church services, what we do then is we take the information that's been sown like into our soul and filter it down into our spirit to begin acting on it. So think of it this way. I'm sharing with you, sow to the Spirit. So then what's the corresponding action on your part? Sow to the Spirit. What I'm saying are the words. I'm giving you the... How can I put this grammatically? Okay, this won't set well with teachers. I'm giving you the nouns. You have to turn them into adverbs. Is that close? Adverbs are action words, right? Verbs are action words. Okay, I'm giving you the nouns. You have to turn them into verbs. Okay? I'm trying to make this easy. You have to convert it. You have to convert the mass into energy, all right? For all you scientists. If you don't sow to the Spirit, then you're going to be wondering continually, what am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? But now here's the upside to this. Because of what we see in Scripture, if you sow to the Spirit, you're guaranteed to conform to the image of the life of God, and you're guaranteed to begin conforming to the image of the pastor, apostle, prophet, whatever, in Christ Jesus. You're guaranteed to do this. See, this is not a maybe it might happen or what. This is a guaranteed thing because it all originates with God. So therefore, if you do this, if you begin sowing to the Spirit, you have begun that conforming process. Now, here's what's neat. You know how that in the natural, you really can't force... Look, if you're going to drive from Ohio to Florida, there's no way you can shorten I-75. Okay? It's, you know, 1,000 miles, whatever it is. It's 1,000 miles, no matter how fast you drive, it's still that long. And there is nothing you can do about it. But in the realm of the Spirit, you can accelerate. It's almost like you can shorten the amount of time it takes you to conform in the natural to a spiritual calling. And it just depends on how much sowing to the Spirit that you do. Now, some people think that this is next to impossible, but it's not. Some Christians have a hard time accepting the fact that there even is a plan for their life. Some Christians, how can I put this? Some Christians are so caught up with the head comprehension that they miss the spiritual reality. And in their minds, they are constantly struggling mentally to figure out, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? And yet the whole time, if they're sowing to the Spirit, the whole time they're sowing to the Spirit, the confirmation is taking place. The change is taking place. They are conforming to that image of whatever it is that God's called them to do. You say, well, but when do you figure it out? All right? I mean, if I keep sowing to the Spirit, when do you figure it out? You know what? It's, again, been my experience that there are a lot of people that are closer to figuring it out than what they want to admit. It's just that maybe some of what they're figuring out is not what they want. It's not what they want to do. It's not what they think they should become. It's not what they believe. And some people, they start to get a really good idea of what they're supposed to become, and then they don't do anything. They don't pursue it. You know why? Lazy. They feel they can't because of, you know, their kids or who they're married to or because of their job. In other words, they start sowing to the Spirit and they begin developing an understanding of what they're supposed to be, and then it's like they stop. Or they might keep sowing to the Spirit, but they just stop. They don't, because in their minds, they have created a different image than what's been created in the Spirit. And in their minds, they've created an image of can't, won't, isn't, and all this other. This is kind of where faith comes into play. The more you sow to the Spirit, take your mind and kind of put it over here. All the I don't knows, all the I'm not sures, all the I can'ts, just table this for a while, okay? Just put it over here on the shelf and just keep sowing to the Spirit. And keep in mind the part that you kept, not the part you put on the shelf. Keep in mind that with God all things are possible. How possible manifests in the natural may not be the way you thought it would manifest. But with God all things are possible. There are some people that end up paying, I'll say it this way, there's some people that end up paying big prices to fulfill the call that God has upon their lives. They pay a major price to conform to that image. But remember what Paul said? He said, all those things that I gained, I count as loss so that I can become what Jesus wants me to be. So think of it this way. As you sow to the Spirit, no matter what you perceive that you're losing or about to lose, maybe you'll lose it, maybe you won't, I don't know. But no matter what you... Now listen, we're talking about sowing to the Spirit. We're not talking about acting in the flesh, okay? Lean not to your own understanding and so forth. In all your ways acknowledge Him. The more that you sow to the Spirit, no matter what you perceive you're losing or what you perceive you're about to lose, it cannot compare to what you're about to become. And even though you may experience emotional sorrow and pain and shed many tears, the end result is going to be the fulfillment of the destiny that God has planned for your life. Does that make it worth it? Yeah, it does. God never, He never said the journey would be easy. Never. But He does guarantee results. So here again is the thing. If you sow to the Spirit, you absolutely are going to begin conforming to the image of the life of Christ in you and to the image of the call in Christ that God has set aside for you. It's guaranteed. Absolutely. Then as you begin to pursue that, you begin to put away your doubts, your thoughts, and let God... Remember, He talked about, you know, seeking Him, going after Him, desiring Him, you know, committing everything to Him and so on and so forth. And He said He would give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean He's going to give you everything you're asking for. What it means is that in your heart, your desires become His desires for you. And whatever that plan is for your life, that's a part of His desires for you. And you begin desiring the fulfillment of that very thing. It's a neat process. A very neat process. And the thing that I like most about it is that it's guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. I sow to the Spirit and I am going to conform to the image of the life of Christ in me, and I am going to conform to the image of the call in Christ that God has set aside for me. It's guaranteed. I cannot lose. Praise God. That is exciting. So what do you do, Brother Martin? Just keep sowing. Just keep sowing to the Spirit. Just keep sowing to the Spirit and reap the life of Christ and the life of my call in this life.